2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it from.
I don't know if y'all noticed, but we got some visitors here today, and we're thankful that you're here. We have several with us, and one lady is visiting with us. Her name is Kay Greenway, and we appreciate her for being back here again. But we do have visitors with us, and we're so honored that you're here, and we're happy you're feeling better, Miss Kay. And our young people, what an exciting week for them. Found an article this last week about a man. His name was Joe. He said, "My college turned out some great men." The man asked him, "What year did you graduate?" He said, "I didn't. I got turned out." Big choices to be made. Big decisions. Life is going to start moving even faster than you've ever seen before. Decisions will come your way, and you'll have to make decisions. You have to decide what you're going to do. You're already making big decisions. Am I going to go to college? What I'm going to do? And all those different things. You know, some people go through life, it seems like, they're going through life just hoping things turned out like they're supposed to. And that's what I want us to think about this morning for just a few minutes. Are we living life just hoping that it turns out like it's supposed to? You know, I make reference sometimes to jumping out of airplanes, because I did when I was in the Army. And sometimes it was almost, that's what you did. You did not pack your parachute. They had people that would pack it for you. You took a static line, a cord, a rope with a hook on it. You hooked it to a cable. You walked out of an airplane hoping that this string was attached to the parachute, that it would pull out, and that they had packed the parachute like it was supposed to be packed, and when you come out of the airplane, that it would open. Really, that was it in a nutshell. That's as simple and as complicated as that. When you jumped out in a few seconds, you would look up and make sure your parachute was open. And David, I can tell you that was the best feeling in the world. When you jumped out of the airplane and you looked up and that parachute was open, that was great. That was what you were hoping for. And another story is told about a guy that went through the countryside, and he was a marksman. And he would shoot with his bow and his arrow, and every time he hit the dead center of his mark. There was a man that followed him and realized every time this guy shot, it was perfect, dead center in the bullseye. He said, "I've got to find this guy. I've got to catch this guy. I've got to see him. Who is this person that every time he shoots, he's dead center?" He caught him. He ran up to him. He was so excited. He wanted to see this marksman. He said, "How is it that every time you hit the bullseye?" He said, "It's very, very simple. I shoot first, and then I draw the bullseye." We don't want to live our life doing that. We want to have the faith that we know that we're living and we're doing as we should, that we're not jumping out of an airplane. We're not jumping out and after a few seconds look up and say, "Okay, it worked." W.A. Bradfield, one of his books, he's got a sermon that's entitled, "Some Calls Must Be Answered." And you can imagine what they are. I'm going to share them with you real quick this morning. Three things that W.A. Bradfield says that we have to answer these calls. And number one is the call of life. You know, none of us knew that we were going to come into this world. Think back. You don't know. You don't remember. We were born into a family. And that family took us, I hope, and that we grew in such a way and we learned a lot from them, but we didn't have any choice in it at all. We was here. So we had no control over that first call. It was a call that we had to answer in our life. Now, then we got to make choices along the way, and we're going to talk about those choices in just a few minutes, not only for our graduates, but for all of us. We're going to talk about the choices that we make along our life, but that first call was the call of life. And then the second call, W.A. says, is the call of death. The writer of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment." So there's another call that every one of us is going to answer one day, and that's the call of death. We're going to live our life on this earth. We're going to make decisions, and we're going to go down certain roads, and we're going to go down certain paths in our life. Sometimes we're going to choose the wrong road. We're going to make the wrong decisions. But we're traveling through this life, and W.A. brings that out in his sermon, that we're going to answer that call one day as much as we may want to fight it. We're going to have to answer that. But then he makes reference to the very last part of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And that is the call that we're also going to answer, because when we answer the call of death, there's one more call we're going to answer. And that's the call of judgment. Every one of us is going to stand before God one day. Now, we can pretend like that we're not going to. We can put that in the very back of our mind and act like it's not ever going to happen because we're scared of it. But everybody that can hear me right now, you've answered one call, because you were born. And there's two more coming. And we've got to be ready for those next two calls, because we're going to answer it. And it's a great sermon that W.A. Bradfield had in his book, as he laid out these three things, the calls that we have to answer. And think about those in your mind this morning, and think about whether you're ready to make those calls. I know they're not calls that we like to think about, but they are calls that are coming. And now let's back up for just a minute, for just about 5 minutes or 10 minutes here. Let's back up and understand that we've answered the one call. We're waiting on two calls. So now we've got some choices or some calls, if you will, that we can choose whether or not we're going to answer. And that's really where a lot of people are in their life, especially our graduates that's about to graduate. They've got choices that they're going to start making. You know, it's something about turning 18. It's something about graduating high school. It's something about now I go from a child or a young person. I know nobody likes to be called a child, but we go from a child to an adult. Here this year and the next few months is coming. We're going to transform our lives, and we're going to say that I'm an adult now, and I'm going to start making my own decisions. I'm going to choose the path that I'm going to go. And the first thing I want to challenge you with this morning is continue to be faithful to God, because it's your choice. And that is a call that I pray that you will answer. A call that you will be committed to, that I am going to continue to be faithful to God, not only in my attendance, not only in my worship to God, but every day of my life. That I'm going to strive to live that Christian life. I'm going to strive to let my light shine. I'm going to strive to influence people for the good. I'm going to impact people's lives, and I'm going to try to win souls to Christ. And that's your choice. A lot of people choose not to do that. A lot of people choose that I'm not going to live for the Lord, that I'm not going to live that Christian life. It's more about me, and we talked about that some this morning in our class in the back. We talked about choices that we make, and too many times we choose for ourselves instead of choosing for God. So the first call that we have a choice about making is whether to be saved or whether to be lost. And where are you at this morning with that question? This morning, if you answer that call this morning, are you saved? You know, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, it's a passage that most of us know. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You know, I was talking to someone this last week, and they were talking about some problems that they had and some things that was going on within their life. And I jokingly said something to them. They were talking about how that they wanted everything to be right all the time. And within the conversation, without going too deep in front of you this morning, within that conversation, it got down to the point, I said at one point in the conversation, it's kind of like everybody getting the free Coke and everybody getting a trophy. And he said, you're right. I said, in our society today, we want everyone to be right. We want everyone to win. We want everyone to get the trophy. And every one of us can get the trophy. Every one of us can win. And God laid that out for us in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Have everlasting life. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to have that everlasting life. But it's a call that we've got to answer. It's our choice. And we have to make that choice. Back to what I said a minute ago in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth. You know, that's where it all starts. It starts with our faith, and it starts with a desire, our heart, if you will, within ourselves, that we say, I believe that this is the Word of God, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And I believe on top of that, I believe to the point that I need Jesus in my life. I think it was Jacob a few minutes ago that led the prayer for the offering. Wasn't it? Didn't you lead that? Prayer for the offering. One of the things that he said this morning, he talked about all that we have. And then the blessings, our earning power, and how that we want to give back to God. Think about all that we have in our life. Where did it come from? It come from God. And that's part of our belief, and we know that we have a soul and a soul worth saving. And we believe that we need Jesus in our life. And that's where it starts with every one of us. And then our desire to get sin out of our life. And that's really where people struggle today, is getting sin out of their life. Because we want, as we started this sermon, we talked about a minute ago, we want, and we're selfish in a lot of ways, that we want to hold on to what makes me happy and what my desires are. And that's a pleasure that we want and need in our life. But then we've got to turn loose of those things. You know, I remember growing up, and Neil Penny and Brother Reeves, I don't remember his first name, that was at Atwood. I remember the older preachers when I was growing up, things they used to say, and I forgot which one said this, but one of them said one time, he was explaining what repentance was. And he said, bottom line, if you rob a bank, you give the money back. And he went on to explain, you can't be sorry that you took the money if you keep the money. And I'll never forget that, I don't guess, as long as I live, because it just hit home with me as a young person. What is repentance? I'd heard all my life, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. I knew what they were. I could sit and tell you over and over again. But when he said it's like if you steal something, if you're truly sorry for it, you make it right. You give it back. And y'all, that's the toughest part about repentance, isn't it? It's about giving it back, getting out of whatever it is that we're talking about, whether it's some type of sin or whether it's robbing a bank or whether it's adultery or whether it's whatever sin we want to talk about, that we move ourselves from that sin. It's not going to be easy. The temptation is going to continue to be there no matter what it is that we're caught in our life. But we've got to have the belief and the desire with God that we're saying, I am going to get out of this situation. Kimberly and Cinda and Annie and Charlie and Wendy and I, we sat and talked last night, and they got on to me pretty good last night because they love me. They were preaching to me for a while last night about my heart and about my health and different things, and it was all of them teamed up on me. I stood my ground for a while. I ended up losing. But they got on me pretty good as we was thinking about it. And Kimberly said something to me last night. It really boiled down to what I'm talking about right here. It what she told me last night, although it was not a sin and although it wasn't repentance, it was when she drove home a point of what I needed to do for my health. It boils down to, am I willing to sacrifice for what I want to do? Whether it's my heart, am I willing to do this to be healthier? Am I willing to give this up to save my soul? You can't have it both ways. And we have to make a choice. And that's the hard part about repentance, is I have to deny myself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. So wherever you're at this morning in life, and no matter what it is that sin's got a hold of you, are you willing to put it down and take up the cross? And that's giving the money back. That's really what it is. Because I can't be sorry and continue to live in sin. And then that great confession that we have to make. That confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I remember sermons, and I've read articles and books on confession, and I used to think that it was very simple. Confession was. It's strictly answering the preacher whenever he asks you, Nick, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do. But it's more than that. It's more than nodding your head yes. It's more than saying yes. That's where the change takes place in our life, and it's more than saying yes. It's living that confession that you make every day of your life. And you know, we have to be reminded of that, don't we? We have to be reminded that we made that great confession, and we said that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He's my Savior, and He's my King, and this is the way I'm going to live. And we have to be reminded of that. And then obviously the last thing that we talk about, and when we think about salvation, is baptism. It's our obedience to God. It's us meeting the blood of Jesus in the obedience in the watery grave of baptism. And just like they did in Acts chapter 2 and other places in Acts, that they've committed their life and they said, I am going to follow Jesus. So one of the calls that we have a choice to make or not is whether or not we want to be saved or lost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you don't believe, that same scripture says you will be lost. You will be damned. Number two, we have a choice of whether we're going to be spiritual or whether we're going to be worldly. Have you decided that in your life? Have you decided whether or not I am going to be spiritual in my living? And you know, we could preach for 3 hours on this, and I'm not going to, but this point could go on for a long period of time. Because you could talk about studying your Bible, you could talk about prayer, you could talk about a devotional, you could talk about a lot of different things. This past Friday, we had a benefit in Mackley for Linda Cherry, and appreciate everything that you did to help for that. And I was talking to a young man over there Friday, and we was talking about Jay. He brought Jay up to me, and I said, you know, Jay did a lot of things for me and my family and everybody that was around him. I said, but the one thing that he impacted me the most on, I think, as I look back, is when Jay got cancer, and it was tragic that it took this for my family to take hold and do what we should be doing. I'll get that out of the way. But when Jay got cancer and he got sick, it pulled my immediate family together, and we started doing something every day together after that, and that was pray and study the Bible. We were committed when Jay got cancer that we're going to spend a period of time each and every day in a devotional. Because we no longer are talking about how important God is to us. Now God is important to us. because one of our own is sick and one of our own is going to die with cancer, and now I'm going to be close to God. So we read and we studied and we focused on God's word and we prayed every day together. And this young person that I was talking about Friday, I challenged them to pull God closer into their life. And I said, I don't know what you do. I don't know what your daily routine is, but at least give a little time to God. You may start with 5 minutes. It may grow to 5 hours one day. I don't know. But start somewhere and say, this is my time, Charles, that I'm going to spend each day with God. I'm going to take this time to pray. I'm going to take this time to read the scripture. Versus what I say often, watching television or being on our phones. Went to Perkins, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, with Andy and Charlie and Wendy, and I got to looking around. It was after church. I got to looking around. There wasn't a person in that restaurant that didn't have their phone stuck up in front of their face. They was all texting or looking or Googling or whatever it was they was doing, but they were all sitting at a table together, but everybody, and it was our family too. I'm not condemning nobody else. It was us. Everybody was sitting there at the phone. I text somebody and ask them if they wanted to talk. Where are we at? Take a little time for God. And then third and finally, we have a choice whether or not we're going to be safe in God's will or whether we're going to choose to do our own will. And what I mean by that very simply, and I'll close, is I challenge you to recognize your self-worth. Recognize your self-worth in being saved. Nothing's no more important than you are. Nothing's more important than your soul. This morning, what condition are you in? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? You can make such a difference in people's lives if you will focus on your soul. If you will be the very best Christian that you can be. Whether that's our seniors that's about to graduate or whether it's us old folks that need to improve, we can make all the difference in the world in people's lives if we'll focus on ourselves. And you know what I mean by that. It's not that self comes first. It's about my soul. That I'm living the life that I should be living. That I'm trying to influence the people the way I should be influencing them. This morning we've talked about what it takes to become a Christian. We went over the plan of salvation, what God expects from us. This morning I want to challenge you as we're about to sing this song. Is your life right with God? It's not if you're not a Christian. I plead with you this morning to walk forward in just a minute. If you're not a child of God, putting the Lord on in baptism, or if you're challenge this morning, you're struggling in life and you need the prayers of the church, our prayer is that you will make the decision this morning to come while we sing.